Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I don't know if there's anybody, Pearl, under more pressure to look a certain way this upcoming weekend than Arch Manning. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, because I know a lot of the shine has kind of come off Arch because of these first three games. We thought it was going to look a certain way. It really hasn't looked that way. Now, they lost to Ohio State. No shame in that. You know, they're the number one team in the country now. But then, you know, two wins against teams that are much lesser competition. And you can just even see with the naked eye that Arch is clearly struggling. Yeah. And so they play Sam Houston State this week. They're a 40-point favorite, basically.
Right.
This now, though, is the appetizer. And these have been the appetizers before the SEC schedule starts. And I know this is not Arch's fault, but Texas was the preseason number one team in the country. We're kind of expecting them to be a playoff team. And I'm not necessarily ruling out that they can get to the playoff, but Arch has to look a certain way. Like, yep, we're all expecting that Texas is going to obviously win this game. No one's on upset alert, but that's not what it's about when it comes to Arch, because it's the physical part, and it looks like the mental part has gotten into and short-circuited brain a little bit. Yep. On some of these throws.
All fair, absolutely true. I do think, though, that people are overlooking other elements of this Texas team. That Ohio State game, I tell you, every time, we just had Quincy Avery on in hour one talking about Arch's mechanic problems. Every time the camera got behind Arch, you could see the receivers, and every one of them had an Ohio State guy glued to them. I mean, not just like, they weren't just covered. They were basically like holding hands. They were like that Greg Kinnear movie where he was like,
Stuck on you or something?
They were stuck on you. It was incredible.
Never seen that one.
How covered the wide receivers were. And then Arch took a couple deep shots, and every guy was covered. Then he found something in this
Parker Livingston,
yeah, 19. And those targets, he's at like, his rating's like 110. To Ryan Wingo, the supposed star, his passer rating's like 30. So there's clearly something going on with the rest of the team. And they have not run the ball at all against teams that they should go out against Sam Houston State and they should run for 400 yards. But they're not, they're like 3.5 yards a clip, which in major college football is not good. So there's a lot going on. I've seen that Sark has talked about other stars pressing. He said Ryan Wingo is pressing. He said their star defensive end, Colin Simmons, has been pressing. Like, the rest of the team is just not, maybe it's Arch's fault, but everything's going on Arch. But does the rest of the team look any good at all? They should, even if Arch plays the worst game of his life, they should be blowing these teams out a little easier, the two last games.
Yeah, so winning 38-7 against San Jose State. But if you were watching the beginning of that game, it looked pretty rough for Arch, and then he kind of got it together. And then UTEP 27-10. Again, these are wins. Like, should it matter?
Well,
the
yeah,
style points and how it looks. It's just when even someone with the naked eye who had never seen football before, if you were like, that, you know, this quarterback looks, you know, was supposed to be amazing, and then you look at it, it's weird sidearm stuff, the footwork is all bad, all of it. So here's the other deal with what's going on with Texas. Sam Houston State comes in, that's an 8 o'clock Eastern game, but then you're at Florida, and I know Florida is on life support right now, and Billy Napier looks like he could be shown the door. DJ Lagway just threw 5 picks in a game against LSU. However, you don't want to be the team that goes into the swamp, and all of a sudden it's the turning point of a Florida Gators season where they somehow get back on track, and they do it by road grading you. And then the week after that, it's Oklahoma, who's right now ranked 11th in the country and has the one of the Heisman favorites in John Mateer.
Yeah, but to be fair, Oklahoma is a really that hasn't been tested at this level.
And I think a rivalry game.
If you're playing Florida, here would be my advice to Sark. Hand the ball off every time and let that defense score 27 points. Because Billy Napier will call plays that put the ball in so much danger. And DJ Lagway will throw it anywhere. He doesn't seem to care. So I don't know about Florida, Maggie. If they beat Florida, we're not going to be impressed. Let's put it that way.
Kind of, it's kind of no-win situation, right? You go there, lose to Florida. Yeah. The sky is falling. You go and beat Florida. It's like, well, Florida stinks anyway. So that's a tough spot.
I think somebody called in last hour and said, if you're Ben Johnson, the Bears coach, you should simplify everything and, you know, make it one read or hand the ball off. That's what Sark has to do with Arch. He has to simplify. Because you have five stars everywhere. You should be able to run the ball and win these games. I mean, that's honestly, like, that's Sark's superpower. It's always been a run game. He's a great spread offense coach, but he always had set everything up. It was always like second and two. All his quarterbacks were, the reason that all the Alabama guys were wide open is because the run game put them in great down and distance. Now Arch is living in third and eight.
I got a bad, a bad feeling that Sark already has simplified the offense. I think he's doing that already. I don't know if you can get more simple.
But he's only played one real game.
No, I'm saying even like the second half against San Jose State, I think in some of these games, I think he is already going like, oh boy, I think I got to simplify things. I think he's doing that, and I guess it is having success. But again, the opponent is not a true reflection.
But the San Jose State game, the UTEP game, right?
Yeah, that was the last game.
Malachi Nelson, like they clearly couldn't move the ball 3 yards against Texas. So Texas knew we're just going to hand the ball off. But when they handed the ball off, normally the number whatever team, three, they should be running, gashing them. They should be not even having to pass the ball. They should be up 47-0 on their run game. And for some reason, that is not there. Watch it this week. Even against Sam Houston State, their running backs should be getting, I don't know, you should have two running backs with 150 yards. That's not happening either. So all I'm saying is not just Arch. There are a lot of players on that team who are totally pressing. And I feel like the Arch expectation is filtered down. Do you need Arch to, you know, they're a 45-point favorite. Arch could have the worst game ever, and they should win that game by 30.
Yeah, I mean, listen, people are going to say that Contravion Weisner is dealing with a hip injury, right? Yeah. Lower body. But it's weird because, you know, yes, he's one of the standout running backs for the Longhorns, and he's hurt, but it's Texas, for goodness sakes. You think that their backups are also going to be able to run the ball effectively against, some lesser talent, not the SEC caliber talent. I'll ask you this question. Yeah. I'll even throw it out to the group if you guys want it. Finish this sentence. If Arch Manning struggles against Sam Houston State, or I think it's just Sam Houston now. I've been calling it State. I think it's just Sam Houston. So apologies. .. No. If Arch Manning struggles this weekend, fill in the blank there. Pearl, you go first.
The media will have a heyday and nothing will change.
See, I'm going to fill in the blank. If Arch Manning struggles against Sam Houston, he must be benched. And we just had Quincy Avery on, who said benching Arch Manning is not going to do anything because he's already seen enough from the sideline. He is a junior. He was watching those last 2 years. He's seen plenty. Quincy knows more about quarterbacks than I ever will. But that, to me, if he struggles against Sam Houston, it is so mental. You've got to do something. Even if you're not sure if it's going to work, this is the last time this season you can get away with that. Okay? If you play against Florida and it's going badly, that's a much more high-profile game. Oklahoma, are you kidding? The biggest rivalry, one of the biggest rivalries in college football? You can't bench him then. This is your last chance. If he's struggling, you've got to take him out.
And is there a famous guy behind him that I'm not aware of?
No, but you don't need a great quarterback in theory to beat a team you're favored to win by 40 points, right? Like, you can go to the backup against Sam Houston.
In
Florida at the Swamp, that might be a bigger challenge.
I claim ignorance here, but I'm pulling up the depth chart. According to our lads, Matthew Caldwell is the backup. He is a senior transfer. He's a three-star recruit. I don't know anything about him. Trey Owens is a third stringer. He's a freshman who looks like in his picture that he's 12 years old. he's a little bit more.
As we get older, these college kids look younger and younger.
I really haven't heard much about the guys behind him. So
doesn't matter. They can.
You say it doesn't theory, matter. What are you talking about? Every game is. It kind of does matter, doesn't it?
Well, you just said that they need to be running the ball anyway, like against Sam Houston guys. I'm not saying this is the last time. This is the last moment of the season where you could actually bench Arch if he doesn't look good coming out of this game, and you could bench him for a half or bench him for a couple series or something to try to shake things up, because then you're at Florida, Oklahoma, at Kentucky, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Arkansas, Texas A&M. Like, this is it. The SEC schedule starts October 4th.
Yeah, you definitely can't bench him because they would kill his confidence anyway, and also it could cause so much fuss for Steve Sharkey. It'd be such a massive distraction. And third, like, there's no one else to go to. And even Arch not playing, at least he's been like somewhat serviceable. I mean, I'm sorry, I just don't trust Matt Caldwell in a big position because I've never heard of him. That's why.
Wait, what's his name?
Matthew Caldwell.
I'm calling him Matt. Matty.
Does he have any stats? Maybe he's
played
actually
at Troy. He played at Troy.
Troy. Okay, so I wouldn't.
Watch out for the Trojans.
Listen, fine. He can play against Sam Houston.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, 13 touchdowns and 8 picks at Troy in the Sun Belt Conference. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, come on. I understand what you're saying. You're with looking at the schedule, but you can't bench Arch. I mean, unless there's some kind of injury, I really don't think you can under any circumstance.
Do you go fake injury on this thing? Like, we suspected in our group chat that maybe the Vikings are putting J.J. McCarthy on ice. This was, just theories here. We don't know anything. We're not alleging anything. But
well, based on
maybe taking a step back here.
I don't think that's going to happen. Because remember when someone kept asking Shark about the injury
right.
and he made that bathroom face analogy? He's like, I don't know what you're like. right. Because Arch Manning keeps wincing when he throws and someone asks Shark about him and he's like, I don't know what that means. Like, he's perfectly healthy.
Yeah, no, Sark doubled down. He's definitely not hurt. And that was Sark said, we don't have a camera on you when you're in the bathroom. So how do we know what your face looks like? And everyone was like, ha ha.
No, they're like, what?
Yeah. Football coaches making jokes is always dicey. EJ, what do you think? Arch Manning, finish the sentence. If he struggles against Sam Houston, ..
It would confirm that he's not the guy. Like, it would to me, if you get to week 4 or wherever we're at and you're playing Sam Houston, you still can't look like a frontline quarterback. Then he's not a frontline quarterback. It's not going to get – could he improve in the SEC? Could he play better? I say yes only because I saw DJ Lagway do it last season. So I could see him in a weird way playing better later in the year. But you would still come into next year with all these questions about is he even that good.
Like he would play up to the competition.
Yeah, I think there's – again – you just get more time, more experience. Like I think he probably would put together some good games at the end of the year. And he's playing for a good coordinator or play caller in Sark. But no, it would confirm that he's clearly not a top line guy, that he clearly was overhyped, and that any expectations on him all have to be lowered to a considerable level for him to reach. Because saying that he's this generational guy, he's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen, he's not anything close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, like the NFL probably has a different process around all of this because there have been quarterbacks who stunk at parts of their college career. I mean, Josh Allen was really bad like the first half of his last year at Wyoming. Yeah. Jordan Love had a stinker of a year. Like the NFL.
Yeah, but those guys weren't playing for the number one team in the country.
Well,
like Texas's defense, like you should be able to get a little more of a clear evaluation. Josh Allen's playing at Wyoming. Jordan Love's playing at Utah State. Like these were not.
Yeah, but I do think the NFL like just has a totally like they see what's happening in the college field and they see it totally differently. And there's going to be some coach out there who thinks, "Oh, I can fix that. He's tall, mm-hmm. he's got a cannon, and he can run." They'll be like, "Oh, I can fix that."
The one thing though, I hate to bring it to this, but you know what's going to happen if that does happen? If somehow
it will happen.
If Arch Manning is some guy who's an average college quarterback and he gets drafted in the first round, all of the Shedeur Sanders fans and Deion Sanders fans, they're all going to come out and be like, "See, this is clearly bias against Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders played in college, and he was putting up great numbers. He put up, you know, he threw all these touchdowns. He had all this production. And then here you have Arch Manning, who's throwing sidearm and looks like he's going to the bathroom, according to his coach, when he's throwing the ball, and he's going first round. People would have a problem with that.
Well, that'd be great on social media, but in the reality of the NFL, I don't think it really would make any difference.
Well, but here's one thing that could make a difference. And again, yeah. Quincy Avery just joined us, quarterback guru and coach. And if you missed it, you can check out the Maggie and Perloff podcast or hit rewind on the Odyssey app. All great ways to find that. He was talking about the influence that the Mannings have over the league that is like soft influence and kind of like hard influence, like whatever the political science term is there. And he was talking about Archie Manning. He gave us an example of Archie Manning didn't like it that C.J. Stroud passed on the Manning Passing Academy yeah. and was bad-mouthing C.J. Stroud. This is according to Quincy, behind, you know, kind of like behind to other teams because he decided to skip out on their prestigious like camp.
Yeah.
So
that tracks.
Right. And we were talking about you're just bringing up Deion Sanders now and Shador and if you know, Arch got overdrafted where Shador fell. People worried about Sanders' influence in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Deion's, that is. Now Deion's an actual college coach, so maybe it's a little more like acute. But would you be worried about the Manning family influence? If you draft Arch Manning, do you kind of get the opinions of Cooper and Archie and Peyton? I don't know about Eli so much.
I mean, yeah. Eli won two Super Bowls.
No,
so obviously the Manning influence is a positive because you had probably had Archie up in your business and it worked great.
No, I'm saying like would that be a turn off?
No, I think it'd be a turn on based on history.
But like you, we worried about. Do you get a call from the Mannings?
I know exactly what you mean.
If Arch is not starting, do you get a like the same thing that we would say about Deion meddling? Like Deion's an inner circle Hall of Famer, you know, and that was looked at as a negative that he could be meddling in a team's affairs.
Well, here's the thing.
What about Shiloh?
He said we're literally going to pull an Eli.
I was talking about this the other day in 2004.
It's going to be an Eli.
There's no doubt that Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger were better college quarterbacks than Eli. Eli went number one because his brother was awesome. So that was a full-on Manning effect. Nobody could convince me otherwise that, I mean, eyeballing Ben Roethlisberger playing and Eli was good at Ole Miss, but those guys were awesome in college.
He did finish third in the Heisman. I just want to set for the record.
That's just my opinion. I thought that the Rivers and Ben were, I thought Ben in particular was a way better prospect. But the Manning name, like, guaranteed going number one.
Well, I don't know if a quarterback from Miami of Ohio was going number one overall. That was obviously not right. Ben Roethlisberger should have been the first quarterback taken in that draft. But
anyway, the Mannings got there, and, like, Archie manipulated that process. We all know that.
Of course.
And it ended up working out great.
No, I know. But, like, it was the same thing we said about Shador. You draft the kid, you're welcoming in the family. And looked at as a negative with Deion, but it would be a positive with the Mannings.
Well, that's because of Deion.
But Deion knows ball.
Yeah, but Deion he's just a very, very candid in front of a mic. The Mannings move in silence. Not exactly, but not really, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of messy.
Archie does not.
No, it's kind of messy.
Archie
it
said
went
he
Eli.
Wanted, he wanted what Arch to be a Dallas Cowboy over the summer. Remember that?
Yeah. No, I know. But I think Deion is just a little too candid for most NFL billies. We know that. I mean, why would you want... I personally wouldn't want to coach Shador because Deion's awesome on the mic and he will point out all your flaws very openly.
To be fair, Deion has stayed away from the Browns, though.
Yeah.
While this whole thing worked out. He has a day job.
But I don't even understand. Like, doesn't this feel like it'll be just like a lot of like... fan and media noise about the Shador thing. Like, this is like NFL teams have to look at each case individually, I think. And I don't think if you're evaluating Arch and the word Shador comes up, I'm like, why are you talking about Shador Sanders? Like, you got to talk about each case individually. To be fair to Shador Sanders, I think they should have probably talked more about who he was as a quarterback. We'll see. I don't know. I think people are way too down on Arch now. I think he has, I'm curious if he ever did turn it around. You know how it works. Everybody would jump right back on.
Yeah, well, he should be able to turn on against Sam Houston. Again, 888-710-4ISN. Fill in the blank or finish this sentence. If Arch Manning struggles against Sam Houston, ..
Sam Houston State also acceptable.
Is it acceptable?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yes, it is.
Phew.
But here's the thing. By the way, first, can I ask you a question? If he plays well, what will we say?
We got to see it against Florida.
Yeah.
To be fair.
And then if he plays well against Florida,
you know, though,
rightfully we should say, let's see it against Oklahoma. And that's how I view
but,
it.
But, you know, actually, I think that we'd breathe a little sigh of relief, actually, if he plays well against, if it looks different against Sam Houston. I think be like, all right, phew, like he got this worked out, yips, whatever it could be, mental, too much pressure, all the stuff, you could totally understand it. I think we would say like, all right, now we can just like go ahead with the season.
I think that would be a major mistake as well. Like, really? Oh my God, who cares if he beats up Sam Houston? Say, what is that indicative of anything?
No, I'm saying it's not even about the final score. It's just about can he actually hit a wide receiver in stride?
Yeah, I don't think, I think if anyone is evaluating Sam Houston State, that's a massive mistake as well.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Talking to you about Arch Manning. And again, if you missed our interview with Quincy Avery, it was good. We'll put some stuff out on social media about that, what he had to say about Arch and about Caleb Williams and about Daniel Jones. You tried to rebrand Daniel Jones many years ago.
Yeah, well, I have heard this joke that now he's Daniel Dollars instead of Danny Dimes. Mm.
I don't like this game.
Dude, you're the new Jets. All your quarterbacks become awesome when they leave.
Stop, bro.
Also, you got Jackson Dart. You got Dart.
Yeah, it's not...
Not yet.
What good is he when he's sitting on the sidelines, Mags?
No, he gets in every once in a while, weirdly.
Yeah, he does play.
Yeah, three plays.
What are you talking about? If you look at the numbers, Russell Wilson might win MVP finally. He's like leading... Yeah, he's been by paper amazing.
If only he could play the Cowboys secondary.
By paper. And then even then, if he plays the Cowboys secondary 17 times this season, he'll probably throw an interception, a moon ball interception late...
What do you think it's going to look like against the Chiefs?
Hey, by the way...
Oh, we're not 250 yards at most total.
You say that, but the reason he had 450 yards was he was just throwing the ball up in the air and hoping Malik Nabers found it somewhere. So there was nothing wrong with his thinking on that interception.
Man, that's the Brian Daboll way.
But Nabers
close your eyes and throw.
Nabers cut the other way. That's what happened. Otherwise, Nabers probably would have caught that pass. There was a miscommunication.
Down there somewhere.
Yeah. It's like the old Randy Moss offense. Okay, drop back and just throw the ball in the air and let him run.
Hopefully somebody will be under it.
Yeah.
One of those plays with Wandale Robinson looked like the second coming of Randy Moss. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
A Wandale Robinson sighting.
Where was that performance? I had no idea that dude had it in him. I tried to get him in my fantasy league.
It was like two catches.
Yeah, I tried to get him in my fantasy league on Tuesday night and lost out in the free agency draft.
Good. Congrats. But you're better off.
888-710-4ISN. Finish this sentence. If Arch Manning struggles against Sam Houston, ..
You have a problem.
Coming up next, we've got another quarterback ruled out for this week, unfortunately. But what does it say about the bigger goals for the team? That in just moments.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. It's going to be an interesting college football weekend. I don't think it's a lot of ranked teams playing each other, but we do have Utah and Texas Tech is a very interesting game because I think a lot of people outside are very curious about, wow, are either of these two teams going to be really good this year? Are we looking at two potential playoff teams coming out of that conference? I know, Maggie, you're kind of you're very into the Texas Tech backstory about the big donor and who's now running commercials to limit college football playing.
And about what we should be voting on, like to sign a petition about something. I've tried, by the way, I've read like six articles about that, and it's still kind of murky about what they're actually asking the public to do. But anyway, I'm actually into both of these teams. Utah was one of my picks to make the college football playoff, so I'm really into them. And in Texas Tech, I'm very curious about all this money and the influence of it, and does it really have this changing of the guard effect at the top tiers of college football, which I think we expect it will do, but does it really take out the Alabamas who are crying poor, and all of a sudden the Texas Techs of the world and the Texas A&Ms are the ones who get elevated? Weird little note about this game, 17 versus 16, that's the rankings, Utah 16, Texas Tech 17. Noon game, big noon kickoff, Fox, right? Yep. So that's 10 a.m. Mountain time for the college kids there. So
heck yeah,
that's an early start.
It's high
or
altitude,
a late
too.
Night.
High altitude. I don't know if there's a lot of late nights in Salt Lake. It's in Utah, right?
That is true. I guess maybe the venue does maybe play into it. Manny, if you were a college kid, you're the closest of all of us to still being college age.
That's right.
And your team was playing at 10 a.m. local time.
Uh-huh.
Do you just stay up all night and just start your tailgate? You're going to start your tailgate at 7 a.m.
I'm
8
still 20, 21 years old, right?
Yeah,
no, I'm staying up all night.
Yeah,
of course.
But
not
I don't
my advanced age.
Actually, I know BYU, none of this. Like, do they even tailgate at Utah? I'm not even sure what the...
Well, you don't need beer to tailgate.
You can get hopped up on root beer over in Provo, Utah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts
delicious
of...
delicious mugs.
I did a game in Salt Lake once, and I did remember, I'm like, what is going on here? How come nobody is partying? Because I know you have to be a club member to be in the bars, and like it's a weird spot. It definitely is not your normal college atmosphere. But it's the most gorgeous. It literally is the most gorgeous. Both stadiums, BYU and Utah, most gorgeous place. We were talking about the Utah quarterback, Devin Dampier, is a Heisman bet. But they've played, talking about Sam Houston State, they did beat up on UCLA, who's kind of the Sam Houston State of major college conferences.
I mean, like, just destroyed and also forced them to fire their coach. George is in L.A., George, what do you think about your Texas Tech Raiders, Red Raiders?
Well, to be honest with you, Maggie and Pearl, I think Texas Tech would beat Texas right now. And I know they've been playing Sisters of the Poor, but still, they are doing what everybody thought Texas would do. They're blowing away teams. And they're playing their second and third team by the fourth quarter or earlier in games. And two of their games have been shortened by the crazy weather, Tornado Alley, Lubbock, you know, that massive storm, and I've seen it on YouTube. Oh my gosh. But anyway, Texas Tech is real. Yes, I'm pleased with our billionaire donor. It's about time college football got more even with the teams. I don't care what Alabama or Texas or whoever else cries, they cry all they want. You know, it's the way it is.
George, thank you for that. Enjoy the game against Utah. His name's Cody Campbell, right? I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. He played at Texas Tech and now is the guy who's in the commercial and asking people to basically read up on this, a sports broadcasting rights.
Oh, yeah. He wants some sort of antitrust thing going on, right?
Basically, I think he wants Bogus, you're probably going to have more on this than I will, but it's that he wants like the conferences to be able to negotiate like the NFL does, which I believe is kind of outside antitrust law.
I can't help you here. Okay. I got no time for guys trying to limit what players are making anymore.
Well, it's just funny that the way they're selling on the commercial is like, if you don't vote for this, like women's sports could go away. It's like, I really doubt that the women's sports is what's driving this, but whatever.
That's Trump's line too. Trump put out a big letter on college sports said, you gotta protect women's sports and we gotta protect the Olympic sports. That's sort of become the new, because this is all about the SCORE Act in Congress, right? Like, which they keep saying is at the 1 yard line. I will tell you right now, there is anything that passes or anything that happens will change in 3 months. That's all.
Oh, did you see yesterday the big college football news?
What's that?
About the portal? the transfer portal?
Well, yeah, but we knew that was coming. That was...
But is it going to hold up? This is your point. So yesterday they...
Well, yeah, they need one portal.
No, but yesterday they announced... Let me tell the audience. Yeah. Yesterday they announced that instead of having two transfer portal windows, there used to be one in the...
December,
and then also one in the spring.
Yeah.
Now there's just going to be one. The spring one is gone. But why I bring that up is your point is anything that limits... Anything that has to do with the players is getting, you know, is not flying for Congress. For so long, the players had no rights, had no ability to move freely around college football, or, you know, all the reins have been taken off. Do you think this will hold up?
That one, I hadn't seen that presented as a player rights thing, because even with two, there were still limits on transfers. But it's a universally hated two windows, right? Because...
Well, maybe not by the players.
Well, it just... did they move the first window back? That's what I...
They have not... They did not finalize that yesterday.
Yeah, because that's the problem. Like, guys transferring before the end of the season is a massive problem, right?
So, it happened kind of famously with Penn State, right? Bo Pribula.
Yep.
I can never say that guy's name.
Former Penn Stater.
Right. So he, when Drew Aller said he was coming back for another year, then their backup quarterback, who had seen a little action through the season, had to transfer before they went into the college football playoff.
Right. And the end of last season, everyone's like this. I seem to remember maybe you had it, that they were already well down the road of killing this portal system, because the coaches obviously hate it. It is a little messed up. That's a perfect example. Like, that can't happen anymore.
No, you might want to change it till after the college football playoff is over.
Sure,
but then they're
will.
Saying, well, but actually, an actual school calendar.
Yes.
Ha ha. But an actual school calendar, it doesn't line up with that.
The current proposal is to move the window to the Monday after the CFP quarterfinals, which is usually like one of the first or second days of the new year.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd still have people transferring when the season's not over, and then the kids who are still playing in the CFP would have more time after they're done to get into the portal since they're playing.
Yeah.
And apparently when you go in that portal, you can stay in there for as long as necessary.
So you can, I'm curious, can you transfer and then still play for your team?
I mean, that's up to the school.
Yeah.
Like if you put your name in the portal and you have a semifinal game, the school can say maybe you should stay home, or you could absolutely still be our backup quarterback or whatever.
I believe SMU's backup last year was in the portal, but he was still there. Like, he was still there ready to back up Kevin Jennings if they pulled him.
Right. And I can't speak for, obviously, all of the programs, but I also think that a lot of times when players go in the portal, the coaches already know what's coming. So or they know a guy's going to go in the portal when the season's over, and those guys stay on the roster and they finish their job and they do whatever.
Right.
It's not like every time somebody goes in the portal, a coach is like, oh my God, what's Timmy doing? So whether they're in the portal officially or not, like, this stuff is always happening, and those guys always sometimes hang around. It's not breaking news to the team every time somebody puts their name in the portal.
Yeah, although that Nico Iamaliava Tennessee thing got pretty ugly, and that was end up being a spring portal situation.
But those are the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You said after the quarterfinal.
Yes.
So that means four teams would be, this would only affect four teams that might lose players if that rule. So it's a very small, it's four out of 300, whatever, FBS and FCS schools.
But again, I think the large majority of people going into the portal probably have already told their coach they're going in the portal before whatever this new date.
Because the recruiting is happening 24/7, 365,
exactly.
on the sly.
And for quarterbacks, it's extra important because only one quarterback plays, so that's the one. Like, you got to, there's so many open chairs, you got to jump on that chair when it's open.
And that's
why, if you're a linebacker, you just go on to the depth chart.
And that's why the players, I think, like, quote unquote, the spring window, because that's after spring ball. So now you know if you've lost your job then, and you try to go find a new one for the fall instead of being stuck down the depth chart where you are. So that's the one that's going to go away, and that's the one the coaches don't like because it messes up their roster building so late in the process.
No, they stopped doing scrimmages.
Right.
Because teams were poaching off of the red and white game.
The
spring game. All right, Bugs, what else is going on in the world?
Oh, your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Oh, outside of Maggie's head, the Dolphins are 12.5-point underdogs in Buffalo on Thursday Night Football. That is the largest spread so far this season, even larger than Maggie's size 9. Sean McDermott searching for things to be worried about.
They've got a lot of speed on their team overall, in particular on their offense and their returners as well. You know, they do a lot of different things. I think Coach McDaniel is one of the better coaches in the league.
Sure. The Bills will be without D-tackle Ed Oliver and linebacker Matt Milano for this one. Start your stress treadmills around 8:15 Eastern tonight. You know,
because we're another day closer to death.
Devon Achane could have a day.
You know, this...
If he stays in bounds.
This narrative I've created, I don't know if you guys have sensed it. It's maybe because Maggie says next to me. It is annoying how bad the Bills' schedule is. People are picking up on that all over. It is like, it is a joke how this happens.
So the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Saints over the next 3 weeks?
Not even that. I was just looking for our knockout pool. Because obviously tonight is a legitimate choice, but I was trying to think, like, do I want to save the Bills for later in the year?
Because I think alike.
They're the Bills. So like, let me just see their schedule, see how many more obvious Bills wins are coming. They only play 3 road games before November 1st. They start 4 or 5 at home to start the season.
Yeah. Did you guys have this energy for Tom Brady's Patriots when they didn't have to play anybody?
Nobody hated him more than me.
Bills have to play Kansas City, by the way. They have to go to
where? The 0-2 Kansas City Chiefs?
They have to go to Houston, which is always a tough place.
They'll be 0-3. Their record?
At Pittsburgh. And they play your Philadelphia Eagles.
Have they played a team that has won a game yet this season?
Well, but Houston, we think, is actually good, right?
They might get a coach fired tonight.
Possible. Or Miami rallies, and this is the most spirited effort they give in some kind of death rattle of the season.
Or you're delusional.
Come on.
Okay, but here's the thing.
You're making poor Perloff choke over there because of this ridiculous
thing. You're making me laugh.
I'm sorry. Can we just agree on this as a show?
Okay. Uh-huh.
If I am the one who's like, hey, guys, they get paid too. They're professionals also, and they're desperation mode, and the Bills may be in cruise control and no Ed Oliver tonight. If they somehow do get upset, then you can't come in and make fun of the Bills for blowing it to the Dolphins. Because I'm the one who's here with a healthy respect still for Miami, and you guys are the one that's clowning them.
Well, so we're not make fun of you. We can still make fun of the Bills.
Yeah.
This is like one of those things I can't believe. Well, I'm sitting here telling you they are going to bring their best effort tonight, Miami. They have to. This is it.
Then what happens if the Bills win by 35 points?
Well, I'm going to sleep at halftime, and that would be the first time.
Then we come back to say, Maggie, we see there's nothing to be worried about. We told you they were going to get destroyed, the Dolphins.
I'm hoping that's what's going
on. I can't wait for it to be 30 to nothing, about 7 minutes left in the third quarter, so I can go to sleep.
The Bucs were hoping to find Baker Mayfield feeling healthy after that crash into Will Anderson during Monday Night Football. Their QB said yesterday his left leg felt fine. No need to seek up an appointment with his bodywork coach, Dave Matthews. This lesser Dave Matthews lives in Arizona and visits Baker during the season when necessary, but it's apparently not necessary right now.
Baker, and it's not that Dave Matthews? Are you sure?
I'm very positive. Yeah. Baker was wearing a compression sleeve on his leg yesterday when he spoke to reporters. Mm. He was listed as a full participant at the Bucks walkthrough.
Do you know why? History of that?
He crashed into Will Anderson.
Yeah.
You were waiting for that.
I already said that.
You did?
Oh. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
I also know someone named Dave Matthews.
If I knew a second Dave Matthews song, I would use that.
The other
that
day
button.
You knew one wasn't Crash. That's like half a song that you knew. You know 1.5.
I don't know. It's always tough for the guys who share a famous name with somebody, but it's such a common name, like the Michael Jordans of the world.
Yeah, I saw the other day the Bucks activated Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Tom Brady, like our greatest athletes. Michael Jordan. Our greatest athletes, some of them just have the most obvious names.
Yeah, there was a kid on my football team in high school. His name was Tom Brady. Mm. And it was very disappointing when he couldn't play quarterback.
Well, there's an irony, too. There's a Tom Brady who was an executive for the NFL for a long time. There's a Randy Moss who's
a horse racing.
There's another guy, like all these famous names.
Remember down the hall when they booked Randy Moss thinking that it was going to be a football player?
At the Super Bowl. Yeah.
And in particular, Greg Giannotti, who's a Vikings fan, thought he was getting to speak to one of his heroes, the footballing Randy Moss, and he was the horse racing guy.
Yeah, but who's awesome, by the way. So
sure, but that's...
But you kinda,
Randy Moss is a great interview.
I know, but you kind of have to be like so
okay,
good.
Okay, Mike.
I hate to say it, the horse guy delivers.
Sure, but imagine if you guys as a gift to me booked Dave Matthews, and I thought it was Dave Matthews. You gave me the bodywork coach.
Baker Mayfield's bodyguard.
Yeah,
instructor. You'd be disappointed, but you'd have questions.
For you.
You would want to know, what's he doing with Baker?
No, thank you.
Man.
Chandler Simpson and the Rays cooled off the Blue Jays last night.
1-1.
Thank you, Chandler.
Swinging a ball, lifted in the air to deep center, driving back Simpson toward the wall, leaps, and did he catch it? Yes, he did.
Simpson robbing a three-run homer on Rays radio. He would add the tie-breaking RBI single, bottom seven, for a 2-1 Tampa win, ending the Jays' six-game run. Their AL East lead on the Yankees dropping to four games, with the Bombers winning in Minnesota 10-5. Cody Bellinger homer drove in three RBIs as well for Jason Dominguez and Ryan McMahon. Well,
somebody was omitted.
Yesterday was afternoon, the Cubs clinched their first postseason trip since 2020 with an 8-4 win in Pittsburgh. And Messi and Inter Miami reportedly close to an extension, a finalized deal expected very soon. There were some rumors that Messi might have been looking elsewhere. Guys, back to you.
We forgot about one of the great common names from around here, and someone who really plays it up and gets maximum effect is our guy Tom Izzo down the hall.
Oh, yeah.
Not so common as a Tom Brady or something like that, but Tom Izzo, who works here every March, will respond to every bad social media post of people think they're calling out the Michigan State basketball coach, and Tom just plays it like a chef's kiss. Our Tom.
Yeah, and but only in March. Like the
only
rest of the year, we don't even. Yeah, I should.
He changes the Twitter handle to the photo to Tom Izzo.
Yeah, because it's a picture of him and Tom Izzo, which is hilarious.
Yeah. I call him Coach. I'll go down the hall. Hey, Coach, what's up? Good morning, Manny.
You were about to say, Pearl?
I'm going to stay away from it. Because I know somebody who has the same name as a famous actor, and he used all the accidental followers to become a political firebrand. In a way that a lot of people don't like.
There's another Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, I can't even go, because if you guys Google this guy, he's in big trouble now.
Damn it, Sam Jackson.
Yeah, it might as well be. But he basically got 100,000 followers who thought they were following the actor and then used that to express his political views.
Oh, remember that guy? Remember that baseball player who was J-Rod? Do you guys remember that scandal? There was a guy. There was a guy, I forgot who it was, but somebody was pretending to be J-Rod, and it was the baseball player J-Rod, but it wasn't him. It was somebody else.
Impersonating him.
Yeah.
Well, that's just lame.
Well, but this went on for, years.
Oh, boy.
This was not this is funny. Like, people for years were like, wow, J-Rod, this, guy who played 5 years in Major League Baseball has a lot of opinions on things. And then the guy
really
came out
in
randomly
on these farm subsidies in a way that
randomly was like, hey guys, I just want to make it clear, I haven't been tweeting ever. This is my first time on Twitter. I didn't even know this guy existed. This is not me.
Well, so our friend Peter King, there was a politician named Peter King.
Big time.
And then Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick, the Texas lieutenant governor,
is a big political person.
That's a little bit like me, though. A lot of people, I gained a lot of fame because there were a lot of guests on the Dan Patrick show who thought I was Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I can't believe I get to meet the real McLovin. I'm like, no, that's not me. And they still, for some reason, didn't process, so they still thought they were talking to McLovin.
It's just funny that they would meet you and then still be like, it's the guy.
But I don't know, was Ken Jeong really a super fan of Andrew Perloff? I think he must have thought I was McLovin. I've actually I still don't know. I want to talk to him someday, but I don't think he would tell me the truth.
All right. 888-710-4ISN. Let's take a quick break. Coming up, we've got some injury stuff for you from the NFL. You got to hear this. M&P. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Let's get...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some injury news. So Jaden Daniels did not practice on Wednesday, Pearl. Looks like we are not going to get another update until Friday afternoon. And he's dealing with a knee injury. And this is a quagmire here for Washington. Now, what do you do?
Wait, what's that? I like Marcus Mariota. I think he's it's Mariota, right?
Yeah, but do you even bench him? Like, if Jaden Daniels is pushing to play, you know, what do you do with this? That's what I'm saying. It's a quagmire because you have to be thinking in the back of your mind, all right, the team as a whole, not this current regime, they all messed this up with RG3 years ago. So Robert Griffin III, who is also a running quarterback, Jaden Daniels is maybe not as much as RG3, but maybe it's about the same. Anyway.
No. Oh, I see what you're saying.
As far as like run pass.
I thought you meant it's Mariota, right?
No.
Young Mariota could run too. Now he can't.
Yeah, remember he famously like threw a touchdown to himself. Marcus Mariota did it in a playoff game, I believe, with the Titans. Anywho, Jaden Daniels is a tough one because he's going to be pushing to play. This is not a severe enough knee injury where it's like no question, no doubt that he can play. But you're early in the season. You have tons of expectations. But I can understand if, you know, after that Green Bay game, you want to get this thing back rolling on the right track.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mariota is a good enough backup that you could be cautious. And I think you should be cautious. That being said, like, we had no idea Jaden Daniels was hurt out of that game. I mean, maybe some people did. I had no idea. When he showed up on the injury report, I'm like, what knee injury? So it is a bit of a weird situation. If he was, you know, JJ McCarthy, the same thing. We didn't know he was injured. And then we said, oh, well, they're just benching him because he stinks. So it wasn't like a major obvious knee injury. Like, it's something subtle, right?
I guess, but it is keeping him out of practice. Now, just to kind of lay out their schedule, it's Vegas that they're hosting next. So it's kind of weird. It's AFC team, then at Atlanta at the Chargers, then a Chicago, Dallas, KC, Seattle, Detroit stretch. That is that's going to be a little tough.
Maybe Jaden Daniels is like, ooh, I want to face a Raiders team traveling east. That sounds like a fun matchup.
The other injury thing, and you're welcome to weigh in on Jaden Daniels, 888-710-4ISN for all of our fans in the Delmarva area. But EJ, Justin Fields ruled out with a concussion, suffered against Buffalo last week, Tyrod Taylor coming in. And I hate to do this, but did the thought cross your mind, would the Jets be better off just sort of tanking the season? And I liked how Justin Fields looked in week one, so maybe it doesn't have to be this severe. But did that thought cross your mind? Hey, maybe we get the number one pick if Fields, you know, has to miss a couple games and we get our pick of the litter, or at least like first or second pick?
I mean, that would be, I'd feel that way maybe if it wasn't Tyrod Taylor getting into play, right? Like, I mean, I know Tyrod Taylor is also injury prone, so maybe he's somebody that will be out in a week or two. But in theory, if he plays for however long Justin Fields is out, I don't know if there's this huge drop off for the Jets. He's not the athlete that Fields is, but he probably processes better. He probably sees the field better. So the Jets' passing offense, while it looked really good in week one, I don't think will ever look as bad as it looked in week two when Justin Fields was out there.
Yeah.
Fields has like a big range of how well he can play. Maybe Taylor doesn't reach the heights of what Fields could do, but he's going to give you a steady game. So I don't know if, I mean, could you lose a lot of games with Tyrod Taylor? Sure, but I just don't know if like he's the quarterback you want to tank.
Yeah, it's the opposite. Honestly, like, if you're trying to tank, then this is bad news for you. I think everybody thought that because Tyrod Taylor got at the end and looked way better than Fields.
I know. The only thing is, I think they were like, the confidence was pretty high after a narrow loss to the Steelers.
Yeah. No, I know. But that's all gone.
Yeah,
it's all gone.
Yeah, 1 week just took all that away. especially because it feels like the defense is getting worse. Like it was already, it was a really bad opening week, and then you saw that Steelers offense against the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers offense against the Seahawks.
Yeah,
it looked nothing like how it was against the Jets. You're like, oh man, we might be really, really bad on that side of the ball.
Well,
big headline, by the way, Baker Mayfield says it's definitely Tyrod, not Tyrod. Because they play together about three different cities, apparently.
Wow. Yes, and it's going to be Jets at Tampa, which is why Baker was asked about it.
It is okay. Tyrod.
Tyrod Taylor. Step on up. Bet. Coming up next, it's the King of the Mountain.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.